This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you by Royalty, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
So that's one. And then the other one, most people would be surprised to hear, was that they thought, oh, people who work on their voices will be people who have a very soft, very weak voice.
Right, right.
That is only part of the situation.
Shy people, right?
Yes. The other is that I have clients who were too loud. So they said, I'm too loud. And whenever I speak, they think that I am arguing with them.
That's funny.
Yes.
But that's the other end of the spectrum, right? So you don't think about that. Yeah, okay.
Yes. And then they said, I thought I was able to project my voice, but until people were telling me that I sounded too loud, I sounded too aggressive,
right?
I sounded arguing with them all the time.
Right. So if you project your voice, you don't want to sound like you're yelling at people. You want to, like, no. To hear you is fine, but they didn't sound like they're, like you're yelling at them.
Yeah, that's right. So then they
intimidate them.
Yeah. They came to me because that they have received so much feedback that they were too aggressive and people were afraid of them.
Really? Like that was the feedback they were getting from the audience?
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode.
Hi, everyone. This is Cynthia. I am a voice coach, speaker, and author. I help people like you develop a powerful voice so that you can be heard and be seen as the expert whenever and whoever you're speaking to.
All right, Cynthia, so thank you so much for coming on the podcast and being a guest. You reached out to me, we connected, and you coach people and you motivate them, you coach them, but it's really about using their voice, right?
Yes.
So we were off the mic, you started to tell me about that. So tell me more about, you know, how you started doing this, what got you into the whole voice coaching business, really, because you're really a worldwide speaker, and then you can fill us all in about what you do.
Sure. And so the more I do this work, which is to help people with their voices, the more I realize that it seems that I was chosen by the universe to do this.
Because it fits you.
Yes. And also because of my own experiences. So in the beginning, I thought it was accidental. So I was an accidental voice coach.
Right. Like the accidental entrepreneur.
Yes.
Right. So it fits in.
So people, yeah. And people were asking me, they said, how do I develop my voice when I was doing leadership coaching and training inside of a company?
Right.
And so that's where I realized, oh, okay, this is something that people are looking for.
Right.
And when more and more people were asking me, that's where I started to pay attention and started to look at that area to put it as my areas of focus.
Right. Oh, so it really was the demand that kind of drove you towards realizing that you were good at it. It was a gift and that people wanted your help.
Yes. That's in the beginning.
In the beginning.
And then over these about 10 plus years while I'm doing it,
right,
the more I reflect, the more I realize, oh, this is, the universe is choosing me to do this.
Right.
Because when I reflected back on my own life, in my early career, the first job, So I was not hurt. I was being bullied by a very bullying boss.
Okay.
So I was not assertive and I was not being hurt.
Okay.
And that led me onto a journey of discovering my own voice. So I attended a lot of different training programs to work on my assertiveness, work on my confidence. And okay. One of the areas was in the voice. And when I developed my own voice, I realized, oh, not only I sounded more confident,
right,
but also I felt more confident.
Right. Yeah, you do. You feel more confident if you speak with authoritativeness and with, confidence, right?
Yes.
Now, was this mostly in English you're doing most of this, or is it many languages?
So I do mainly in two languages, but the majority, I would say about 90% is on English.
Okay.
And 10% is on Mandarin.
Mandarin. Okay.
Yes.
So in Singapore, that's what they speak mostly, Mandarin and English?
Mostly people are speaking English. So
mostly.
English is the official language here.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So tell me about, so you told me how you got into it. So now tell me what you do. Like, how do you help people? What do? How do you run your business? You know, the whole thing.
Sure. So I help students from all over the world. When we work on the voice, there are two areas that we look at. One is the physical voice.
Okay.
The voice mechanism. Like, for example, some of my clients, they're either having a very soft and very weak voice.
Right.
And then we make it more powerful.
Right.
To work on the body, like work on the breathing, work on the resonance to make the voice more powerful.
Now, you said students. So are they students like in college, or are they just your students?
My students.
So they're in their careers already. Like, they have jobs. They're adults. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yes. And then, so that's one of the key areas that they came to me for, which is to develop the physical voice, the mechanism of the voice.
Okay.
And then in the process of developing, then they realize, oh, there are some mindset blocks that are also blocking them from speaking with a powerful voice. Like, for example, the fear of being visible.
Right.
So even though some of my clients, they have developed the powerful voice, but they were still not using it. It's because of the fear of being visible, the fear of being judged.
Right. The psychological side.
Yes.
It's in their head, really.
Yes. Yeah. And then we work on that area as well.
Right, because they realize that it's not, they shouldn't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of.
It's easier to say.
Right, I know it is. But I think once you, and I think what you do is very important, once you get people out there, like it's always the first time, because I remember in high school, mostly in high school when I started doing a lot of public speaking, I was very, very shy. And but after a while, you get out there once or twice, you're very nervous, and you start to realize that it's okay. Nobody's going to throw a tomato at you. They're not going to shoot you on the stage. You're not going to have a heart attack. But I think a lot of people, especially as they get older, because you're working with adults, so it's maybe harder when they're adults, right? Because they already have a lot of hang-ups. Is that the right word? In their head, baggage is probably the psychological word, right?
That you have fixated to help them patterns. With.
Yeah, so you have to work through all that. You're almost like a psychologist, right, to them, not just a voice coach. Right?
Yes. And some of my clients were saying that this feels like a therapy.
Right. Well, it is kind of, right? Because you're helping them to get through the problems in their head that are holding back what they're doing physically, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So are they, is it all, because I was looking at your website, you have courses, people can do online courses and things. So when you're coaching, you have a curriculum that you take them through?
Yes.
Okay.
There is a process that they need to go through. So it's a progressive process.
You created the process? Okay.
Yes. Created the process and also refined over the years.
Yeah, because you've been doing this, you said 10, 11 years, something like that?
Yes.
How many students would you say you've worked with? You have any idea? Thousands?
I would say hundreds.
Hundreds, okay. Well, hundreds is a lot.
If we don't count the audiences that I have spoken to.
Right, no, just one-on-one.
Yeah.
The hundreds. And then you speak, so a lot of corporations find you and they invite you to speak, which is hard right now, but.
Yes.
Yeah. So you travel a lot. You come to the States, you travel in Europe, you go around.
Yes. So okay. I had a speech scheduled next month to be in San Diego. And then we're moved into virtual conference.
Oh, they're going to try and still do it, but do it virtually?
That's right.
Okay. So you'll see how that goes. So that's your first virtual, that's the first test of the virtual presentation?
Probably in terms of conference,
right.
But in terms of virtual presentations, I've been doing that for so many times.
Right. Well, you're dealing with people all over the world, right? So you're not going to fly out to see them to coach them. That's crazy.
That's
paying
right.
too much money. Right. So, so tell me about some of the, and we'll get back to the coaching too, because I'd like you to tell me about, you know, some stories and things, the way you've helped people, but tell me about the speaking, like what topics are you speaking on? I mean, when you're on stage, like what kind of thing? And do you also have a TEDx speech you did? Is that available?
Yes.
Like if people went online?
It is.
YouTube?
It is available. You can just go to YouTube. You can search for Cynthia TEDx.
Okay, I'll find the link. I'll put it in the show notes when we release
the
episode. Good. Okay, good. So tell me about this, about speaking when corporations bring you in. What are you doing?
So I usually speak on different topics, but they are all related to voice. For example, one of the topics that I spoke on is develop your leadership voice.
Okay.
So that's one. And then the other one is also the title of my book, Influence Through Voice.
So were you talking to like C-level executives? Are you talking to lower level employees? What kind of people did you know?
Mainly it's one group is the senior executives.
Okay.
And the other group, they are middle management and above.
Got it. Okay. And how big are these groups usually? Like San Diego, how many people were supposed to be there?
Oh, I think there are about at least probably 1,000 people enrolled.
Oh, so a big group.
Yes. And then they are different. The number is different. So sometimes the audience could be just 12 people. They are all the C-suites. And sometimes it can be 1,200.
Right. But 1,200, 1,000, that's going to be hard to do. Can you do? Oh, no, I guess you could do a video conference. You don't see them all, but they see you and listen to you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
but the 1,200, 1,200 was a physical audit.
Yeah, right. You were there.
Yeah.
What kind of companies have you spoken to? Companies I've heard of? Big companies?
Like Google.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
in the United States or they're in India too, right?
I spoke at a conference in India.
Oh, okay.
And then the Google was Asia Pacific.
Over there. Got it.
Google, like P&G.
Uh-huh.
And so I spoke in the States, like K&L Gates.
Uh-huh.
It's a law firm.
Yeah. Isn't that's not Bill Gates' father's law firm, is it?
No.
Maybe his dad's not alive anymore. His dad was a big lawyer in the United States. As a matter of fact, he was the one who got Starbucks started because he represented Howard Schultz.
Bill Gates. I was not aware of that.
Yeah, Bill Gates Sr. He was a big attorney. He might still be an attorney. I don't know. What was I going to ask you? Oh, so tell me about, let's talk about the voice coaching, because I mean, that's how do people find you? Like if a corporation wants to hire you, do you have a publicist? Do you find them? Do they find you? How do you get connected with all these big companies?
Oh, so it's one is that I give both paid and pro bono speeches.
Okay.
So some of the corporates, they saw me either in paid speeches or pro bono speeches.
Right, for like a charity or something like that.
Like in associations.
Yeah,
for example, if I speak in the Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
Or association. And then they saw that. They said, oh, I want to bring this into my employees.
Got
it. And then they engage me.
Right. Okay. And then, okay, so let's talk about the coaching, because you said you had a lot of stories and a lot of things that you tell people when you speak and work with them. And I'd love to hear all the stories that you've helped people do and overcome.
Yeah. So one of my clients, he is also a speaker. But he works for a company and then always representing the company to speak in different conferences.
Okay. So he's a public speaker. He speaks on stage.
Public speaking is part of his job.
Okay. Yeah, that's funny. Okay.
Yes. So in his company, he was the only expert in what he is speaking on. But he realized that whenever he spoke, even though he was the only expert, but people were only paying attention for the first maybe 1 or 2 minutes.
Right.
And after that, he started to notice that people's attention was drifting away.
Right.
And in his head, he was saying, come on, I am the expert. You should all be listening to me. What the heck are you all doing?
Right.
And then he was thinking, maybe I am boring. And so then he came to me, and what we realized was that one of the key reasons was the way that he was speaking was too logical, too rational.
Okay. Too technical. Okay.
And at the same time, it's too logical, too left brain focused.
Okay. Yeah, people want to be kind of entertained a little bit. Wakes them up, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay. And
because we know that if you're only using logic, it is going to lose people.
Right.
So when we work on his situation, one is that we work on a voice to make the voice more engaging.
Right.
To make the voice more expressive.
Right.
And at the same time, we also worked on how he structured the way that he's saying. So instead of just all logical or theory, we also helped him to craft like stories.
Yeah, that people can relate to.
Yes.
Right.
And then so after that, he started to notice that when he was speaking, people started to pay attention to him.
Right, because it was more interesting now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also after his speech, he had so much more audience members coming up to him than the past when he was speaking.
To ask him questions and
also offer to work with his company.
Ah, well, because they were like, oh, wow, I want to work here.
Yes.
But before, if it's boring, they don't want to work there.
No, and also they don't want to work with his company as a client.
Right.
In the past.
Oh, yeah. So then it would bring business. It would generate business for him.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. But you know, a lot of it is, and this is true, I've talked to all kinds of coaches and in different areas and different things. One studies habits, one studies shame, one studies this and that. But a lot of it is about making people like this man, right, conscious of what he was doing. It's very hard to step out of your body when you're giving a speech.
Yes.
First of all, you lose your place, but you know, and to see what you're doing wrong, because you're so like trying to remember your words and trying to say the right thing, you know, that type of stuff. And
for him, he was good at what he was doing, and he knew that what he was going to say, he didn't need to remember anything he wanted to say. The only thing was that the way he was speaking was too much left brain focused, which reflected him as a person.
He didn't realize that until you pointed it out, right?
That's right.
Okay. So you went to his presentation, or he recorded it, or?
So I was just looking at him presenting, and even looking at him speaking to me.
Oh, you could tell just from speaking to you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you're right. I guess that's right, right? It's how they interact with people. They get up on stage. It's just more of what they were doing individually, one-on-one.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Huh. Okay. I want to hear more stories. This is very good. I like this.
So that's one. And then the other one, most people would be surprised to hear, was that they thought, oh, people who work on their voices would be people who have a very soft, very weak voice.
Right, right.
That is only part of the situation.
Shy people, right?
Yes. The other is that I have clients who were too loud. So they said, I'm too loud. And whenever I speak, they think that I am arguing with them.
That's funny.
Yes.
But that's the other end of the spectrum, right? So you don't think about that. Yeah, okay.
Yes. And then they said, I thought I was able to project my voice, but until people were telling me that I sounded too loud, I sounded too aggressive,
right?
I sounded arguing with them all the time.
Right. So if you project your voice, you don't want to sound like you're yelling at people. You want to, like, to hear you is fine, but they didn't sound like you're yelling at them.
Yeah, that's right. So then they
intimidate them.
Yeah. They came to me because that they have received so much feedback that they were too aggressive. and people were afraid of them.
Really? Like that was the feedback they were getting from the audience?
Yes. Some people they got it from their spouse.
Right. They wouldn't tell them directly because they're afraid.
Yes.
That's very funny. So are these like leaders of companies or just like people that own companies? They were very aggressive or not necessarily?
So they are not necessary. Okay. And some of them, but most of them, they're leading a team and they realized that they didn't get what they wanted.
Right.
People were either shutting off, they just ignored him or her, or some people would give them the feedback in a very subtle way.
Right.
Then they realize there's a problem. Probably there's a problem with them.
Right. Yeah, but a lot of managers don't want to admit that. So people are afraid to tell them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a very fine line between when you're managing people, between being too aggressive and then being not assertive enough.
Yes.
Right? And
yes.
You kind of help the people walk that line to become that person that they want to be. But there's probably a lot of people that need even more help and they don't even get it. They don't even realize what they're doing wrong. They don't try and find someone like you. Maybe they find you by accident, by luck.
Yeah.
Right?
They would be looking for something.
Right.
They would be searching online and then they realize, voice is part of the reason that the way they're speaking, their message was not well received.
Right. Yeah, the way you speak is a big part of it. That's probably a bigger part of your message than what you're actually saying.
Yes.
Right?
That's right. Yes.
Your body language, the tone of your voice, how loud, how soft, how aggressive, how assertive. Yeah. Okay. So you were able to help him to kind of lower it down a little bit and be more not passive, but you know.
So we are also developing the voice to be more. You still have the assertiveness, but at the same time, it doesn't come across as aggressive, as too pushy.
Right.
So it's also to develop the quality of the voice instead of voice like this.
Right.
So we are developing a voice that's more mellow in a way.
Right. Right, but not shy.
That's right.
So do you give them exercises to do? Like, okay, we talked today, we'll talk next Saturday. Here's what I want you to do during the week?
Yes. Okay. So they will be doing exercises on a daily basis.
Okay. So like for example, with the person who is too loud, that type of a person, what kind of an exercises does he have to do as he goes through I'm curious.
One of the things that they didn't realize was when they are too loud, they are using a lot of breath. And the breath is also going out very fast.
Right.
So what we want to do is to change the way they are breathing and also change the way they are using the breath. Instead of using the breath a lot and going out fast, we use less breath and also going out slowly.
Okay. Yeah, because you could pass out if you're breathing too fast.
Yeah, but they didn't realize. The only problem they realized was that they are breathless.
Yeah, that they're running, right? That they're short of breath all the time. They don't even know why.
Yes.
But it's all kind of caught up in the whole thing. Okay. So then you make him conscious of, that's another thing. So you're making him conscious of his breathing. He doesn't want to be conscious of it all the time once it's fixed, right? But just at the beginning, you kind of have to take a step back and say, let me listen to myself. Okay. So then he learns about his breathing. What else did he have to do?
And then after that, we will be working on developing the resonance.
Okay. So what's resonance?
For most of them, resonance means supplementary vibration.
Okay.
So, which is because voice is vibration, but the initial vibration of our voices, they are from the vocal cords.
Okay.
So vocal cords vibrate, creating the sound.
Okay.
And when they are speaking with a very loud voice, the resonance is mainly very shallow, which is mainly coming from the throat all the way up. So instead, we also develop the body resonance. So when they are able to develop the body resonance, that's where they will be able to slow down. At the same time, their voice will not come across as aggressive, as shouting.
Because of where it's coming from in the body?
Yes.
So it's coming more inside of you.
Yes. And also you think of the violin and the cello. So the violin, because they're the small box will create a certain type of resonance.
Yeah.
Well, the bigger box will create a much deeper and fuller resonance.
Oh, it's a good example.
When we use our body, it's like we started to have a cello in our body.
Right. When you're doing it right.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people start to understand.
Yes.
Okay. So tell me other stories about people that you've worked with and what problems they've had and what you've helped
them
with.
Yeah. So that's one. And then the other one, it's like they are clients whose voice is like on a roller coaster. Like when they are confident, they were able to project their voices. And they were sometimes maybe even sound arrogant.
Okay.
And they feel that now I feel very confident. I am better than all the people around me. So I can sound confident. But when they are comparing with people around them, realize, oh, no matter how much I have tried, I am still not as good. And then they would feel much less confident. And then they go down on the roller coaster to feel a lower self-esteem and no confidence. So they are constantly in this roller coaster in terms of their confidence.
Right.
So one thing I help them realize is that how is your confidence built? Your confidence was built depending on people around you.
Right.
Instead of how you feel about yourself.
So, right. It's not what other people think. It's what you think.
And also is not the result of you comparing with other people. When you feel you're better than other people, then you have the confidence. When you are feeling that you're not as good as other people, you feel much less confidence. So we need to help them. I need to help them realize that they need to get centered. They need to get grounded. Their confidence is built in themselves. Built in, they compare with the past version of themselves. With people around them.
Right. But a lot of that's very psychological, right?
Yes.
Like their speaking may be fine, but it's their mind that keeps messing everything up.
Yes. And then also at the same time, we need to develop the breathing. We need to develop the resonance to make sure that they are physically more centered.
Okay. So it sounds complicated.
So it's both the mind and the body work together.
Well, that makes sense. Usually that's why something's not working, because your mind is off or your body's off or a little bit of both, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So when you're working with people, you mentioned an exercise about with the person who talks too loud, right?
Yes.
And he's got to slow his breathing down, whatever. So what's other things that you teach? I don't want you to give away what you know, your course and how you...
Sure.
Train people with some ideas like what people should do to try and make themselves a better speaker. And then as they get those done, they could then find you and then hire you to really make themselves the right way.
Yeah. So the first thing is to record themselves.
Okay. Hear yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they didn't know what kind of impact, what kind of impression they have on others. So they need to record themselves and have the courage to listen.
Yeah, it's very hard. I remember when I first started doing podcasting, now I'm used to hearing my voice. It doesn't bother me. But hearing myself like in the car, it's like I'm on the radio. It's very scary.
Yes.
To hear yourself, because your voice does not sound on a recording like you hear it in your head.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
So what people hear and what you hear are different.
Yes. The recorded one is how others hear you.
Right. And that's the most important part.
Yeah. So I always tell my clients, if you want to know how terrible that you make others feel with your voice, you need to listen to yourself.
Right. And if you say, ugh, what's the matter? That's the way they're reacting, right?
Yes. That's right.
Well, it's the same thing with seeing yourself on stage or practicing a sport or whatever. When you see yourself, you start saying like, I didn't think I was doing that.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't realize I was rubbing the back of my head every 2 minutes when I walked away or scratching my nose when I'm up on stage all the time. I mean, I've had things like that before.
Yes, because if I keep on telling them, oh, you have this issue, you make other people feel this way. If they never heard of themselves, they don't feel willing.
Right.
They don't feel motivated to change.
Yeah, they don't believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first thing is that they need to listen to themselves.
Okay, so that's good advice. Okay, yeah. Everybody can do that.
Yes, and then the second thing is that they started to observe the way that they are using their breath, the way they're using their voice. If, let's say, that are they using their breath too much and too fast?
Right.
Or they're using their breath too long and too slow.
Right.
So all these things that they need to observe.
So they're breathing, how they're breathing when they speak. Are they breathing too fast? Are they breathing too slow?
Yes.
Okay.
And then, so the third thing they can do is they want to remember that the best voice comes from oneness, comes from a relaxed body. The best voice comes from a relaxed body. The other thing is the best voice comes from zero effort.
Okay.
So
meaning,
when we speak, we don't use a lot of effort. If
right.
you use a lot of effort, you would feel very tired.
All
not
the time.
Only your vocal cords
yeah.
feel tired, but also you physically feel tired.
Right.
So if you feel that, then you know you are against the law of how voice works. Voice projection does not need any effort.
Right. It shouldn't make you tired. You shouldn't be tired, right?
No.
If you're doing it right.
Any effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So what they can do is if they realize, oh, I'm tired, I'm using effort, what they can do is they are going to make a sigh, like, oh.
Just as a reminder.
As a reminder, as a relaxation, also make them realize, oh, this is how speaking should feel like as well, which is just as much as you sigh. When we are speaking, we don't use any effort. The
right.
effort you use is as much as you sigh.
Right. But isn't that the hardest part? Because
that's
people
right.
start to speak, they're terrified.
Yes.
And probably that makes their vocal cords tight, right? And it makes their body tight. And
yes.
they may talk too fast and say, all the time. And they may breathe too fast or, you know, that type of stuff. But I guess that's the biggest part of the whole problem is getting people to be comfortable enough. And sometimes I guess that takes practice, right?
Yeah.
Be comfortable enough to just relax a little bit and talk naturally. And, you know, and maybe if you have a microphone, you don't have to yell so much. It's harder if you're in a room with no sound system. But yeah, I would think that that's the hardest thing you got to work with people about getting them to face their fears.
And now a word from our sponsors. Royalty.com, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. Royalty, it's your marketing done. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about Royalty and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000. Or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
Yes, and also what they can do is before they walk into a meeting room or before they get on the stage, they can do a few sigh with any sound, like
okay.
what I just demonstrated, like,
Right, just to prepare themselves.
Yes, or even when they're speaking, they can find opportunities to make a sigh. Like what I tell my clients, this is what you can say, like the word say, I am purposely breathe out more air, just like what I'm like I'm sighing.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Well, so are the people, a lot of the people you're working with, are they trying to improve their speaking just for, you know, just to speak to people at work or whatever? Or are they, are these people want to get up on a stage and talk to groups? Yes.
They are both. So they are clients who need to speak to groups, who need to present all the time. There are also clients who doesn't need to do a lot of presentations, but they need to be speaking over the phone to their clients or potential clients, or they need to speak in meetings.
Right, or on Zoom.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, because I would think if you want to speak, I mean, don't they say people are more afraid of speaking in public than they are of dying? It's something like that. Like, people are so afraid of getting in front of a group because you're afraid you look stupid, you're afraid you say the wrong things, you sound... So I would think that's the biggest part of your job, right? And making people, because once they become comfortable, and then their confidence goes up, right? And then they talk slower and their voice, and they don't get winded. I guess all those things kind of start to fall together, but that must be the hardest part of the process, right?
Yeah. It's what people are really afraid of is being humiliated.
Yeah, humiliated, right. Shame.
Yeah.
Yes. There's a woman in Texas, Brene Brown. Have you heard of her?
Yes.
Yeah. She studies shame. And it's all about being afraid of thinking you're not good enough. They're going to make fun of you. You're going to, you know, you never want to go out in public again. And people are going to laugh at you. But they don't. People don't do that.
Yes.
I think people are more thankful that they're not up on the stage. Right? Than they are making fun of you. I think they're just happy that they're not the one who's giving the speech, right? And I think that that's
true. Yes.
Yeah, that's the way people are. All right, so tell me more about which, because I'm very interested in this whole thing. I was very shy in high school, and then I started speaking to large groups and youth groups and things like that, and then slowly but surely. But even then, I didn't ever saw myself. I remember one time I was speaking to somebody, and somebody took a picture. I don't think we had a videos in those days, but somebody took a picture, and I saw the picture later on. And I said to somebody, a friend of mine, why didn't you ever tell me that I looked like that? Like, I thought I looked terrible. So then I changed the way my body language, but you have to see it to be able to record it. But now you can with your phone. It's easy to do. So,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So people need to see them, even if they don't do speaking on stages. They need to record themselves in even in meetings. So wherever they want to improve, they need to record themselves so that they know how they sound to others.
Right. Well, should they also record it in video if they can, like to see themselves, how they carry themselves? And
if possible.
Right.
So the other biggest mistake that many of my clients made, which is also another story, that they tend to, when they are speaking, they tend to adopt a certain voice, thinking that this is the voice that's going to sound confident. But one is that they started to feel weird.
Yeah, two, it's not their own voice, right?
No. When they saw themselves in recording, they said, oh my God, who is that?
Right. That's so funny.
That's another thing that many of my clients needed and wanted to work on, which is to be more of themselves.
Right.
With an authentic voice instead of adopting another type of voice.
Right. Yeah, there are people like that. You see them speak publicly, and then you meet them privately, and then totally different than, like, you don't expect them to be different.
Yeah.
You don't really need to be different.
Yeah. So I always tell my clients, I said, we want to develop a voice that's authoritative at the same time is also authentic.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because you're going to interact with these people separately, one-on-one. They'll think it's strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, good. I'm learning something.
So even before people feel strange, you already feel strange yourself. Because you know you.
Right. Well, you're trying to play a character almost, right? Because it's in your head that you should be like this character. I mean, it's not acting. It's not television where they say, oh, Cynthia, you're playing this character, so you have to act like that. That's not true. You're supposed to be yourself,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
But you said you had a story that goes along with this.
Yeah. So a few of my clients, they were doing that. And they were, before they went on stage, they were thinking, oh, I need to speaking in this voice. So once they get on stage and then they started to use this voice,
Right.
And they realize that that's not them. And they feel very weird. And then they were telling me, they said, if I feel weird, then other people might feel weird as well.
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
And then right, especially if they know you.
We work on. Yes.
Right, if they know you and then you stand up on stage and you act with a strange voice, they're going to be like, Cynthia, what's the matter with you? Why are you talking like that? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. This all, whoops, oh, that's a notice that says we have a podcast now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is a very common mistake. So this I have seen in so many clients. And the other thing, yes, they thought, oh, okay, now I want to make my voice more interesting, more engaging. So right. I will change my tone at certain place. And then I'll change my voice another place.
Right.
Which is another problem that they work on the techniques. The techniques of when you use a higher pitch, when you use a lower pitch.
Right.
When you use a stronger volume, when you use a weak volume. So when you are only working on the technique, this is also another problem that you'll feel... It's very mechanical. It's right. also very fake.
Right. So it's not that your voice shouldn't go up sometimes and maybe be down and lower sometimes. It meant right. it, but it should match with whatever it is you're talking about or the point you're trying to make or, right? So
it should start with how you feel about what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. Instead I think people, they see right through you if it's not, if it doesn't match. Yes. Right, the way you're talking and acting with what you're saying, it's I think in their mind it's confusing. Even psychologically, it just doesn't fit, and then they lose interest.
Yes.
Yeah.
They either feel confused or they feel they're just here
confuses
watching
them.
A show.
Right. Because yeah. Well, I don't think they think you're sincere.
No.
Right. Especially if you're telling them that you're telling the truth, then. And it doesn't match, then it doesn't in their mind. They're like, no, that's not right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you need to feel what you're speaking first.
So tell me about some success stories. Like you must have some people that came to you, a lot of problems, and now what are they doing now?
Yes. So one was the gentleman I was talking about. So he was speaking a lot. Besides that, more people are coming up to him after the speeches.
Right.
But also that... Towards the end of our working together, I couldn't even get a hold of him because he was invited to so many different conferences.
Oh, that's good.
So he said, sometimes he was joking. He said, they wanted me to speak at another conference, which is not even my focus.
Right. No, they just thought he was a good speaker. Sometimes entertaining speakers, people want to have you on the platform.
Yes.
Right.
So that's one of that's one of the successes. The other one, she was a lawyer, and then before she worked with me, she felt that she didn't sound authoritative.
Okay.
And she couldn't help her clients to win the case, and her clients was not feeling confident in her as well because
so this is in the courtroom. Like she wasn't confident in the courtroom.
Yes.
Okay.
She wasn't confident in the courtroom to the judge or to her clients.
Okay. So you helped her work on that.
Yes. And then she started to work on her voice. And when we finished working together, he sounded much more confident, much more firm, much more authoritative. So not only that, her clients placed more trust in her.
Right.
And what's more important is she placed more trust in herself, more confidence in herself.
Yeah, sure. Right. Because if you're not confident, then you can't do the job for people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how long did that, like for her example, she's already a professional, right? So she's, how long did the, let's call it a transformation, right? So how long did the transformation take where she started getting better?
Yeah. It usually takes about 6 to 10 months.
Okay. And how often do you work with them usually?
So we
every
would
week?
Be every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks. So twice a month. So you're talking 12 to 20 sessions.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. And then they have exercises in between.
Yes.
Things they have to do.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you follow the same, is it the same process with everybody or does it depend on what, like if they're the loud talker or the very shy person or they're in between up and down, you know, does it depend?
So there are variations in each client.
Okay.
There are also a similar structure to each person.
Right.
So, for example, for everyone, we need to work on the proper breathing. we need to work on developing the resonance. But then for the loudspeakers, we need to pay attention to use less breath when they're speaking. Well, for the soft talkers, we need to use more breath when they're talking.
Right. So that makes sense.
Only two examples. And then there are also clients whose breath was going out too fast.
Yeah.
There are also clients whose breath is going up too long, this one.
I think when you're listening to somebody and they're speaking and maybe they're breathing too fast and they're not doing it, makes you anxious as the person who's listening.
Yes.
And then you don't want to listen or it's a terrible experience. Yes. And you don't even know why you're anxious, but it's just their pattern or their breath. And then you start losing your breath and you're wondering what's I've had that happen before where you're listening to a speaker and you leave the room and you just feel like anxious. Gotta go have a nap or something.
Yes, because our voice is very physical. Not only physical to you, but also physical to whoever is listening to you.
Right.
When you are speaking, you are sending out some vibration.
Right.
This vibrational frequency either makes people feel physically relaxed or they feel anxious.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hopefully when they hear this podcast, they won't be anxious. Because you have a very calming voice because you're a professional. So they can listen and hear. Because I wonder, we put out this podcast all the time and people for 45 minutes to an hour, they listen to me and they listen to the people that I'm interviewing. And, some people are all over the place. Some people are very calm. It varies from person to person. Most people when we're interviewing, though, if you get them to talk about themselves and where they grew up and what their background is, they get, like you said, they get relaxed.
Yes.
They're not anxious because it's their own material. It's their life. They don't have to remember anything. And they can just, get into stories and things that they remember. And that's what a good interview process. And it ends up being a good episode when you can tell stories, like you're sharing all these things about, I think the examples you gave of your clients, I think a lot of people can relate to that. Yes. Either themselves or they know somebody who talks too loud or talks too soft or talks too fast or talks too slow.
Yeah. Yes.
And, So that's why I was interested in talking to you and sharing all this stuff. So what's up for you? Besides San Diego, you're probably going to have to do that online. What other things? You're still doing coaching one-on-one, right? Because you do that remotely anyway.
Yes. So I'm doing one-on-one. I'm also doing group. So I'm running two group programs online.
Right.
So that's for the group programs, that's where I call them the students. And for the one-to-one, I usually like to call them the clients.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's good. That makes sense. So you might do a Zoom call. There might be four or five people on the Zoom. Everybody sees each other?
From all over the world. We're all in different time zones.
Oh, so people could be 8 o'clock in the morning and 8 at night.
Yes.
Yeah. I find that the time of day depends on, sometimes if I get, if we did this in the morning, I would make sure that I had a glass of water and I woke up, because your body's like, is it true? Like the way your posture and your body language affects how you speak, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the morning, I have to make sure I'm awake. At night, it's different because I've been awake all day. I've been on Zoom calls 5 or 6 all day. I had dinner already. You probably didn't even have breakfast. You have breakfast already this morning?
Yes, I had.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
What time do you normally get up in Singapore?
So 7 a.m.
Oh, so it's the same as here. Start your day about the same. Yeah. Yes. And when you usually see your first client or talk to your first client?
So it will be 10 a.m.
10 a.m. today?
Yeah. Before that, I usually do some preparation on myself, like 10 minutes, 15 minutes of meditation.
Oh, yeah, to prepare for your day. And it's Monday morning where you are, right?
Tuesday.
Oh, it's 12 hours later.
Yes.
So it's
I'm ahead of you. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were behind me. Oh, yeah, because you cross the date line if you go across the Pacific. Oh, yeah. So it's 10 to 9 at Monday night. It's 10 to 9 Tuesday morning where you are.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. So you're already a day into the week. So how was Monday? It was a good day?
Monday was good. Yes.
Yeah. Very busy.
Yes.
Yeah. So right now, how many clients are you coaching right now? How many do you have?
I lost count, but usually I will arrange the coaching sessions from Wednesday to usually it's on Wednesday or Thursday.
So those are your 2 days.
Yes. And then the other days, I either do some preparation or I do like interviews like this.
Like this. Have you been on a lot of podcasts or usually television interviews or?
So I had both. So I had, I think it's more, there are more podcasts, more radio interviews than TV.
Right. Well, this is the most important. So.
Yeah. I don't have a TV anymore.
No?
No.
How come? Because you don't like it? You want to get rid of it?
Because I don't watch TV a lot.
No.
No.
Yeah, if you want, you could probably get it on your phone. If you ever want to see the news or whatever, you don't need.
That's right. And then if I want to watch Netflix, it's on my phone.
Yeah, I know. You know, I have three children, and me and my wife, we have one, two, three, and five TVs.
Oh, okay.
It's nuts. And we don't use half of them either. They just sit in a room because we're not all in different rooms at different times.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess right now it's good. So.
Yes, I had a TV, but then I realized I didn't watch that much. So then I gave it away.
That's funny. Well, but now you probably wish you wanted it. You wish you had it, right? Because you have to stay inside.
No, not really. I have my phone.
Yeah, that's true. You only need the phone. So I assume the grocery stores, so you can still go to the grocery stores and stuff, or no? Got to get delivery?
Yes, we still can go to the grocery stores. And I usually go there about 1.5 weeks.
Yeah, so you don't have to go back every day, right?
No.
Yeah. So do you guys have to wear masks too and gloves?
Yes. So it just started last week. So the government is requiring everyone, whoever goes out of their house,
right,
they need to wear the mask.
Yeah, we just started that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were much quicker than we were, though, I think. We do things too slow in the United States. So are you, I don't want to ask a lot of personal things, but do you have children? Are you married? Or do you have a family you have to take care of? Or you have free time?
Oh, I have more free time. So I don't have children. And no. Also, I don't plan to have children.
Okay. So you have students and clients.
Yes.
Right. So that makes your days freer, though. Trust me.
Yes. And also give me more time to serve people on a bigger way.
Right.
Because especially this coronavirus outbreak, it made me realize that I want to help people on a bigger platform. Maybe, I don't know yet, but maybe someday even politically to change, make a change in a bigger way.
Yeah.
So I think this outbreak gave me a lot of inspiration.
Okay. Maybe you can lead the WHO someday. Yeah.
So I was organizing a charity event, which is to help people, to gather people donate. And then we are donating to WHO, the Solidarity Response Fund.
So it's an online event? You can't go anywhere, so you got to do it online?
Yeah.
Okay. I hear Singapore is a beautiful city.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it's quite small. So that's why the response is probably faster than
the States. Right. No, they have a lot of control. Yeah. Very small. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. 5 million. There's more than 5 million people in New York.
Oh.
It's a tiny island.
Yes.
It's like 8 million, and then we have another 8-10 million outside of the city.
Yes. So that's why the density of popularity, the population is quite high.
And it's dangerous.
It is.
Yeah. Look at India. What do they have? 1 billion people there? They can't go out at all. They're all going to get sick, but they're doing it anyway.
Yes.
I know. People don't realize. In the United States, people, because we have a very free country and we don't have a lot of controls over things, everybody disagrees. And governors disagree. So tomorrow, some of the governors are opening up their states. Like they're saying, okay, no, it's okay. You can go out. And then other governors are saying, you're crazy. Everybody's going to get sick again. So I don't know. And the president, he doesn't have much to say about anything. He's not really a leader.
Yeah.
You talk about public speaking. He needs public speaking. He needs to learn how to speak. He needs to learn how to tell the truth. And he needs to be a leader. Like when things are difficult, you look to people who are in office to say the things that make you feel better, not lie to you.
Yeah.
Right. But to, to feel like, okay, I know this is bad, but at least with you running the country or you being the governor, you being the mayor of the city, I feel a little bit better going to sleep at night. And I don't think they feel that way with the president, but they feel that way with some of the governors. They take care of the people. They've been helping the medical providers and stuff. You see that? Do you get it all on TV? On your phone, I mean.
Yes, I saw the governor of New York State. Right?
Yeah, Andrew Cuomo. He's very good.
Yes.
He's very good, but he doesn't lie to people. He tells, you know, and he says, yeah, we're going to do our best to take care of everybody. He would win if he became the president, if he tried to run for president right now.
Yes.
But yeah, that's what happens. Like 9/11, it was the same thing. Some people were great, some people were terrible.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, at times like this, I believe that at the same time, we need to look within ourselves to search for this kind of reassurance.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah. Like an inner voice as to that you can do things to help. And
yeah, and also do our own researches.
Right.
Do our own facts checking.
Yeah, so like don't believe everything you hear.
Yeah.
Because there's all kinds of, I've heard things that are so inaccurate. And, you know, there's 10 and there's 10 million. I mean, you don't, it's so different. Just people just say things to make news. And if you don't look it up, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, a lot of times the news, like the president or the governor, whatever, they talk. And then the news people come on and they fact check everything. Yeah. They say, well, this was wrong. 10 million people didn't die. I think today he said something like, there was a plague around the turn of the century, the last turn of the century, not 2000, but 1900.
Yes.
He said like 100 million people died. I don't think there were 100 million people that were on Earth.
Yeah.
Right? So there's no way 100 million people died. Now, maybe he meant to say 100,000. I don't know. But he wasn't listening to himself. That's another problem. People don't hear what they say. Right?
Yeah.
Like you can't. I think sometimes you're so nervous that you don't listen to what you're saying.
Yes.
I hear that a lot. And then people, you know, they're just so nervous to hear their voice. They don't listen to how they're saying it or what they're saying. They say the wrong things. They don't mean
it. Yeah. So that's why, you know, we need to be very present to ourselves at all times so that when times like this, it comes, then we know that we can always listen to our own voices and also do our own homework, like fact checking.
Yeah.
Instead of being,
it's easy to do now.
Yes.
Google.
Instead of being anxious or panic about whatever other people are saying.
Right, overreact.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. No, I see people, they wear a mask and they say, well, we don't have to be separate because you're wearing a mask. Because do they do in Singapore, we got to be 6 feet away from people?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So, and then somebody else says, no, you still have to be 6 feet away. You wear the mask too, which is correct. So then people say, no, that's not true. And then they all argue about it online at the supermarket.
Yes. That's why we need to do our own homework. Like we need to study how the virus works instead of just listening to whether we need to wear a mask, whether we need to stay 6 feet apart.
Right.
So when we do our own homework, we are all adults. When we do our own homework to learn how the virus is spread, how the virus works, then we will know what to do.
Cynthia, people don't even know why it's called COVID-19. So somebody says to me, well, we obviously it's common. We have had 19 of these things. I said, no, that's not why it's called COVID-19. COVID is an acronym for coronavirus disease. It was created 19 because it happened in 2019.
Yes.
And they don't even know why it's called a coronavirus because it's a, you know, there's a halo around the virus, the type of disease. There's other coronaviruses, just this is a bad one. You know, so but that's very easy. I'm not a medical expert. I looked it up.
Yeah,
it doesn't take much to figure that stuff out. You just do a little research. What does COVID-19 mean? And it says right online. Yes. Not that there were 19 of these things, but I talked to a lot of people, and they don't bother to. They have a lot of opinions, but they don't bother to check if their opinions are right. I'm, you know, I grew up speaking and being involved in things. And then when I went to law school, so as a lawyer, I never want to say anything wrong. If I don't know the answer, I will not commit to what it can be. And some people will commit to an answer and they will say, no, you're absolutely wrong. But they don't know if that's true or not.
Yes.
They haven't checked. Yes. And then they're usually wrong.
Yes.
So, you know, there was a survey in the United States. They surveyed people as to where people thought chocolate milk. Do they drink chocolate milk in Singapore?
Yes.
Okay, so where do you think chocolate milk comes from? And like 30% of the people said brown cows.
My God.
I know. Is that funny? Well, that's, you know, these are the people that thought we have 19 viruses.
Yeah.
Because they don't, I don't know what that means for strawberry milk. We don't have pink cows, so it doesn't make any sense.
We can paint it pink.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, so tell me, we'll put some information in the show notes, but if somebody wants to learn more about you, to find about your books and your courses, where, how do they find you?
Sure. They can, the first place they can go is my YouTube channel.
Okay.
So on my YouTube channel, I have over 100 videos to help them and to get them started. And okay. each video is about 3 to 5 minutes, giving them a technique.
Okay. And they just search for your name, because your name's Cynthia with a Y, and Zai is Z-H-A-I, right?
Yes. To make it easier for them, they can just go to YouTube and search Cynthia Voice Coach.
Oh, okay. Easy enough. Okay.
And then they will find my channel.
Okay, good. Well, I'm going to subscribe to your channel, be another subscriber. Sure. You can subscribe to my podcast. I need extra people, so I'll subscribe to your YouTube channel.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they are, we have 37,000 subscribers right now.
Okay. That's building. Yes. I talked to a guy today. He's a food, he's a competitive eater. You know what that is? Like, you know, like the people that do the hot dog contest and the pie eating contest. He travels the world. He can't travel right now, but he eats. He's got almost 1 million followers that watch his videos of him eating food. It's crazy. Okay, so YouTube is a good place to start.
It's not going to be good for his stomach.
No, the funny thing is he's studying to become a dietitian. And then when he becomes a dietitian, gets certified, he's going to give up the food, the eating food, because it's not good for you. Yes. He eats a lot of bad things and too much of it. So, all right, so YouTube's the first place. And you also have a website, right?
Yes. So they can actually find the website link on my YouTube channel.
Oh, good.
So they can click on some of the links, like my social media platforms,
right?
My website, they can click from there. It will be easier for them.
And on your website, you have, I think, books and videos and courses, right?
Yes. And also they would get, when they log on to my website, there will be a pop-up window to provide them with 3 free video lessons.
Okay.
Where they can learn step-by-step to help them develop a powerful voice.
And what do they do? Sign up for your newsletter there? And then they get the 3 videos?
Yes.
Okay. And how often do you send out newsletters to people? Emails?
So usually it's once a week.
So little tips and thoughts and things like that?
And motivations, inspirations.
Okay.
Like during this period, I did some videos to help them. Like one exercise, which is a guided meditation.
Right.
That I did for them to make them feel much more grounded, much more calm.
Right.
In times of anxiety and panic.
Yeah. A lot of people are having a lot of anxiety right now.
Yes.
The woman I interviewed, if you go to the podcast, it came out Monday, which is I'm still Monday. So, but she's in Cleveland. She is a PhD in neuroscience and she studies habits. So we talked about the habits that you should develop to keep your life normal. Like get up when you normally get up, you know, I'm just wearing jeans, but normally put on a shirt, dress, do your hair, like pretend like you're going to work. So you keep a routine, because I think that's one of the biggest problems is you're in your house and you're not used to working in your house. It's hard. I have two dogs, 3 kids, my wife, so it's a little crazy. But if you keep your routine, I think that does keep you grounded and keeps you calm and feels like you have some control over things that, because a lot of this you can't control.
Yeah.
You can control putting a mask on and going outside, but you can't control when the government opens up and all the rules and things like that. And I think a lot of people have a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, you can have control on what you think, how you think.
Right. So you must see a lot of transformation in people. You meet them and they're very different when they finish the process with you.
Yes, yes. So I had clients, many of them, at the end of working together, I saw them glowing.
Yeah, much more confident, happier.
Yes, happier.
Right.
More glowing on their faces and happier, much happier.
Yeah, yeah, because they feel like they don't have to be so afraid anymore.
Yes. Oh, there was another client recently, so I forgot about his story. He was, when he came to me, he was depressed because when he was speaking in companies or even at home with his wife, no one was listening to him. And then he was afraid of losing his job. He was afraid of losing his marriage. And then when we were working together, he started to become more confident. Even in the process, I could see that he became happier. So in the end, when he asked me, he said, what's change did you see in me? I said, the most important thing I saw in you is that you become happier.
Yeah. So how did he find you, or what made him find you? You know, I mean, I would think if you're having trouble, like, that you go find a therapist. Yeah. Because he wasn't happy.
Because he didn't realize he was not happy. He only realized that he was afraid of losing his job. He was not being heard.
Right.
Whenever he spoke, no one paid attention to him.
Right.
And people always interrupted him when he spoke. So he only realized that.
Right. So was he referred to you?
No, he was searching solutions online and found my YouTube channel.
And then he started watching your videos and learning it. It started making sense to him.
Well, watched all these 100 plus videos.
Oh, you have that many, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, because you're all that. Yeah. Now, but the videos, they're just little short videos, right? They're not.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But they got a sense of how I teach, how I work.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's for, right? To kind of show what you can do, and then the real results get when they work with you.
Yes. And even when he was finding my YouTube channel, he didn't had the courage and the determination to work on that until a few years later. So he actually followed me at least 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Until he really said, you know what? I really want to do something about it. I think there's a lot of people have to get to a point where they're willing enough in their mind to do something and make a change. Like, they know there's a problem, but they're not willing to change what they're doing.
Yeah,
they're not ready. They're not open-minded to you.
Yeah, until, like, it reaches a point that the pain is so strong that they need to change.
Right, and you also kind of wore him down with your videos, so it started making more sense to him.
Yes.
Well, that's a good story, though, because that really, you changed someone's life, you know, really.
Yes.
For the better.
Yeah.
So do you all these people, you check in with them every once in a while, see how they're doing, and you keep in touch with them?
Some of them, they would send me some of their new achievement. Uh-huh. Like, I had a client in LA, and we already finished working for 1 year. And then one day I received a message from him. He said, Cynthia, I am so excited to share with you that I got on the local news station.
Yeah.
Radio station.
Yeah. Okay.
And I sounded very calm, very authoritative. So, like, these great news, they would share with me.
Right.
If you like our podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review, and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is a production of Mitchell C. Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about Mitchell and his practice, you can find him on social media or visit his website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.